I ask you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, he said, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord." What's a good thing to do? Rejoice in the Lord. "To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." He said, "Beware of dogs and beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Lord, thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble and worship in spirit and in truth. We do thank you this morning, Lord, for these that have come this way to listen to thy word. We pray the Holy Spirit will have free reign in each heart here this morning. We thank you for these songs that we've sang together as your people, as we lift our voice in praise and worship unto you. We thank you, dear Lord, for the great message we had in the special song, Lord, and how that we do thank you today that you put us in the hollow of your hand, and how, Lord, today we are safe and protected from the storm because we're in you. Lord, we ask you this morning now that you might take this word, you might use it in our hearts and our lives and guide us and direct us in the way you'd have us to go. And we'll praise you through eternity in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. A few years ago, I happened to be passing by this business and I noticed the name out front and kind of surprised me, but I asked somebody, did so-and-so own that business? And they said, yes. And I said, well, he used to be a member of our church when I pastored another church. And so happened one day I was coming back through there and I stopped and walked in and the man was sitting there and he talked to me for a few minutes. We were talking and then his wife came in and he said, well, Peggy, look who's here. And she just looked at me and he said, well, you know who this is? No. He said, now, Peggy, you know who this is. No, I don't know who that is. He said, this is Brother Edge. He said, well, you gained a lot of weight. I want to say you have too, but I didn't. Isn't it amazing sometimes we meet people and we have no clue who they are, even though we should know? We don't know them. The Apostle Paul in our text this morning is going to talk to us something about that today. Because you see, he's going to tell us today that, and we're going to find out that there's many in our world today who really don't know God. In our text this morning, Paul talks about his distinctions. He talks about all the things that he had accomplished in life. How that this morning that he had been in born into the nation of Israel, how that he was of the tribe of Benjamin, and that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and a Pharisee, and all the things that a man could think that would be good and righteous in God's eye. Paul said, I had all of those distinctions. I was the up-and-coming young rabbi of the year. If I'd have stayed where I'd have been, one day I would have probably been the greatest rabbi in the history of Israel. I was that man. When he said, I chunked all that aside. that I might today rejoice through Jesus Christ and the righteousness that's found in him. And then he said, I have a desire. Paul said, my desire is very simple, that I may know him, that I might know the Lord, that I might know God. You see, that was Paul's pursuit in life. That was what he's telling us here. He said, I haven't already apprehended. I haven't already arrived, he said down in verse number 13. A lot of people think they've arrived. They don't need God anymore. Paul said, I'm still traveling. I'm still working. And the pursuit of my life is that I might know God. That is, this morning, the passion of my life. Paul was very passionate about God. And, you know, I think sometimes we ought to be passionate. We ought to be excited that we know God. Well, that's a very exciting thing when you think about it today. We need to be excited that we know the Lord. I was thinking about several years ago, many years ago now, my granddaddy, who's now dead, and he used to work up north for some times, and he would ride the train. And he said one night he got on the train, and he was coming back toward Mississippi. And he said as he got on the train that a man got on, and he went to the conductor, and he said, I'm Brother So-and-so, and I've got to get off in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I want you to get me up. And he said, I'm a very, very heavy sleeper. And he said, I'll lie to you. I'll tell you anything in the world that to keep you from getting me up out of the bed. And he said, I want you to get me up. Now, I've got to get off. And the conductor said, I'll do that. And so the next morning, sure enough, the preacher woke up, and they were going through Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, he jumped up, went and found that conductor. My granddaddy said he was listening to him, said, man, he was lambasting him, and said, man, he was just pointing and turning red in the face. Said he told the conductor, he said, man, that's about the most excited man I ever seen. And he said, well, he's the second most excited man I ever seen. He said, well, who's the most excited man? He said, that guy I put off in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, we ought to be passionate and excited today that we know the Lord. We ought to be excited about that. Paul was always excited. He said, rejoice in the Lord. And then that this morning was the purpose of his life. He said, to live is Christ. To live is Christ. That was Paul's life. That was the purpose of his life. Now, when he says, I want to know him, what does he mean? Well, if you study the Scripture and you study the Word of God, and of course most of you know that the New Testament was written in the Greek, the language of the Greeks, and they had two different words for know. And one of those words was to gain knowledge. That is, that you might read a book, or you might talk to someone, you might observe something today. You might today, through some kind of head knowledge, you would gain a knowledge of something today. That's to know. And there was another Greek word which means true intimacy. You know this because you have experienced it, because you had direct contact with it today. You see, one is really to know about, and the other is to know. I'm afraid there's a lot of people today who know about God. They can sit in churches. A lot of them read religious literature and study the Scripture, and many talk about God, but if you've noticed that it's always in general terms. When you begin to listen to people and you begin to talk about God, a lot of people always talk in general terms. You know, God blessed, and, you know, the Lord is good, or they'll just kind of talk in a generality about the Lord today. That's when you really, I think, just know about God, you see. You see, when you talk to someone about their grandchildren, you ever talk to anybody about their grandchildren? I'll tell you. I got some grandchildren. And this morning, when you begin to get about your grandchildren, you know a lot more. You don't talk about them in general terms. my mother, God rest her soul, lady, and I don't think she ever saw me play a ball game in her life. That wasn't important to her, but when one of my brothers had a daughter, and when she got to playing softball, Mama went to all the softball games, and she'd say, boy, Tanya did this, and Tanya did that, and all of that. And I'd say, Mama, I'm sitting right here, I know. But she knew everything about that then, you see. Wasn't in general terms. You see, you know, you know, you know. A lot of people this morning just know about. But when you come into that, what Paul is talking about here, to know the Lord this morning. We don't know about and we don't know of, we simply know this morning. To know God really today is salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 3 that to know Him is eternal life. This morning, all of us, and I think one of the great things we need in our world today is for people to know God, not about God. When you know God, what is the difference today? What is the difference in knowing about God and knowing God? I think the first thing today that comes to my mind when Paul speaks of it here and when I look in the Scripture, I believe this morning that to know God is to seek His face and not His hand. We seek His face and not His hand. The psalmist said in Psalms 27 and verse number 8 that God had taught him something, and I think today we need to learn this from the psalmist this morning. And he says, when thou hast said, seek ye my face. Seek ye my face. We seek the face of God, not the hand of God. Now listen to me. I'm as guilty as anybody else in the world, I would imagine. Because you know what we usually do when we come to the Lord? We got our hand out, haven't we? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Heal me, heal me, heal me. Do this for me. Do this, do that, do the other. Now, I know Paul says that we're to bring our supplications before Him, and that's not what I'm talking about. But how do we come to God? What do we seek from God? Isn't it nearly every time we begin to seek God, we're wanting something, we're seeking His hand, we're seeking Him to reach into His pocket and give us something this morning? We're always looking for God to do something for us. But David said the first thing God would expect us to do is not to seek His hand, but to seek His face. We're to seek the face of God, not just the hand of God this morning. You see, we want to be healed, and there's nothing wrong with asking God for healing, and we want to be blessed and protected and provided for, and we want everything today. I think sometimes we're, like a friend of mine told me years ago, he told his boy, he said, son, he said, make out a list what you want for Christmas, and me and your mama will see what we can do about it. He said, I walked in one day, and he had a notebook and Toys R Us catalog, and he's writing down everything in the catalog. He just wanted everything. And that's the way we are sometimes with the Lord. We just got us a catalog of everything we want, and God give us this and God give us that. We're not really seeking His face. We're seeking His hand. You thought about, I can just imagine some boy courting a girl. And he slips up to her one day and sits down beside her, and he said, you know, you're not bad looking. And he said, I've talked to your mama, And she said, you're a pretty good cook. And he said, she also told me you could iron and wash clothes and keep a house. And said, you get a good education and getting a good job. And he said, I kind of like to take off and go fishing and hunting every once in a while. He said, I think you'd just be the ideal woman for me. I want you to marry me. Can you imagine her marrying him? What was he doing? He's wanting what she could do for him, wasn't he? But that's usually not the way it happens, is it? Poof! Heart skips a beat and all of this, and you don't care if she can cook, clean, got a job. Don't even care if you got a job. Don't know where your next meal's coming from. You're just in love, right? And all you can think about is that girl. And all that girl thinks about is that boy. Wrong with that. That's kind of natural. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's unnatural if it goes another direction, but nothing wrong with that. Is there? But watch that. That's seeking the face, not the hand. This morning, we too often, I think, are seeking God's hand instead of seeking his face. And just saying, instead of saying, God, we love you. God, we're just here with you. And Lord, we just love you. You see, to know God is to seek his face. And, you know, you want to be with him and spend time with him. And I'm convinced of this, when you really know God, you don't want today to run from him. You want to run to him this morning. You seek his face. You're there with him and spend time with him. And you just want to have that intimate relationship with the Lord. You just want to be with God. You know, you just want to spend time with the Lord. You want to come to the Lord's house. You want to read his word. You know? Remember when you see, when you just know about God, that's not really who you are. It's kind of like the fellow I heard about that his sister wrote him a letter and said, while you're in college, she said, I've met a young man and said he's got a sister and said she's a nice looking young lady, and she described him and she said, why don't you write her and maybe y'all could get together? And so this young man began to write this young lady, and she'd write him back, and every day he'd write her a letter. Every day. She'd write him back and he'd write her every day. One day she got married. You know who she married? The mail carrier. The other guy knew about her, but he had met her. When you know the Lord, you seek his face, not just his hand. Then when you know the Lord this morning, I believe that you seek to please him and not others. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, when it talks about faith, and it talked about Enoch, and he said he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 that he had rather pleased God as pleased men. He says essentially the same thing in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. You see, this morning he wants, you want to please the Lord. You want to please God. You know, I think today a fellow told me one time, something not long ago, and I've thought about this a lot of times since then. He said, you know, church is getting so competitive. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, you got to be real competitive. You got to do this if you're going to get a lot of people in church. It's competitive. I thought, man, there's something wrong with this. You see today? You can't just do all of these things. I'm not seeking to please men. We need to seek to please God. I thought about the other day I was talking to Brother Tommy Whaley, and he said that a church down in Columbus had given their pastor a one-year sabbatical, that for a year he was going to do something and be gone for a year, and they had somebody come and fill in for him for the entire year. And I said, man, that guy, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, I said, that ain't too bad. I got one church to give me a lifetime sabbatical. They told me I didn't ever have to come back. You see, today we want to please a lot of different things today. You can't please everybody. Believe me, you'll never please everybody. You know, I could point to something in this building, I'll tell you one thing, you'll never please everybody. That thermostat. Can't please everybody, can you? Ain't no way, is there? Amen. A lady wrote me a letter one time when I pastored another church and said, we're going to have to do something about the thermostat. And I was thinking, what am I supposed to do with it? She said, they're freezing us older people to death. And so I thought, what can I do? You know, I've got a little problem here. I finally went in the elderly lady's Sunday school class and I said, I understand we got a problem with a thermostat.
Yes.
I said, well, I've thought this over and I prayed a lot about it. And I said, you ladies, it's cold, need to bring you a coat. And I said, I think it's going to be a lot better if y'all put something on, somebody else take something off. Can't please everybody. Listen, you'll never please everybody. You can even try and you're still not going to do it. But you know, Paul said in the last days that when people begin to come to church, they'd be looking for somebody that was trying to please everybody. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be after in season and out of season. Why? Because there'll be folks that come and they want to hear their ears tickle. They want to hear everything today that's good and positive. You know, we always want to be positive. I thought, I was reading in Jeremiah the other day, and a group of preachers, when they went into the Babylonian captivity, and they got them a bunch of the prophets together, and they said, oh man, don't worry about it. It said, be positive. Said, just get ready. It said, we're going to be out of here in about 2 years. It said, everything's going to be fine. And Jeremiah came down and said, well, I'm sorry to tell y'all, you're going to be here 70 years. You see, we can't be positive. We can't be all, you just can't please everybody. But that's not what we have to worry about. Let's please the Lord, you see. Please the Lord. Be a song when I was growing up, I heard it, and it had some great lyrics to it. It was a popular song, but when you change the lyrics, it, the name of the song originally was Since I Met You, Baby. But you know, if you really say Since I Met You, Jesus, I'm a different man. And I want to try to please you in every way I can. You want to please the Lord today. When you please God, you see that saying, I value God above everything. Jesus pleased the Father. Enoch pleased the Father. Paul pleased the Father. You know, the surprising thing to me is that we can even please God. Have you ever thought about that? Please the Lord. I just want to do what the Lord wants me to do. You see, when you know Him, you want to please Him. You want to do what the Lord wants. Then when you know God, Paul said in our text today that he wanted to know Him. The power of His resurrection. I want you to notice the next little phrase. And the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. Don't hear a lot about the fellowship of His sufferings, do we? Paul said, I want God to work through me. I want to share even the sufferings of the Lord. How do you do that? I don't know. I thought about it every way you can think of it. You know, I don't know how a husband feels when they lose a wife, or a wife feels when they lose a husband. I don't know a lot of those things today. But when you begin to go through that, then you begin to understand how somebody else feels. Paul said, I want to endure the fellowship of his sufferings. And he wrote in another portion of the scripture how that what he had endured as he preached the gospel around the world. I think sometimes we need to realize that the sufferings that we face in life many times, the things that we go through, we ought to allow God to work through that today. And we ought to be willing to allow God to use us in any way that he wants to use us if we really know him. And the question this morning I have to ask of you, and you have to look in your own heart, do you know God? I'm not asking you, do you know about the Lord or do you know of the Lord, but do you know God? Do you know God? You know, sometimes people will ask me, do you know so-and-so? Well, I say, well, I've seen him, I've met him, I would know him if I seen him. I've heard of them, but in reality, I really don't know them. I really don't know them. I've heard about them. I've heard of them. But then there's some people I know. I know. Do you know God? Or do you know about God? Do you know of God, about God, or do you know God? A lot of difference this morning. Paul said, the desire of my life, the pursuit of my life, the purpose of my life is very simple, to know him. Do you know the Lord this morning? We stand for prayer, Brother Bruce. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you might take this very simple message. You might use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus.